Please open your Bibles with me to the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter number 5. We're going to do our best to cover chapter 5 and chapter 6 together today. And we're also going to branch into the book of Haggai. Ezra chapter number 5, I'll read the first two verses. Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, who was over them. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up and began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. Let us pray. Father, as we go into your word, we thank you for this opportunity again to gather around your word together, the word of life. Lord, we ask that you will speak to us again. Lord, anoint the ears and the heart of everyone present here this morning so that we will receive this word, this engrafted word of God. Lord, let this word penetrate into the deepest recess of our being, bringing encouragement. Let there be light that will shine forth into the dark recesses that might be hiding in our heart in one way or the other. Let there be a release of grace and of power, not just to hear the word, but to be doers of the word. I ask for a fresh grace and an anointing upon me as the speaker of your word, that you will think through my mind and you speak through my mouth, Lord. Make my tongue, Lord, to become like the pen of a ready writer. Inscribe your word in the heart of your people. Back up your word with signs and wonders this morning, for we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, so we have come to, this is about the fifth installment of our teaching in the book of Ezra. Some of you are obviously perhaps not familiar with this book until we started, you know, this particular series. And like I said earlier on, I want to encourage you to read this book and go along with us as we finish in the next couple of weeks. So from previous weeks, basically from last week, we saw that the Jews are now in Jerusalem. You know, they've moved from 50,000, about 50,000 of them, they have moved from Babylon to Jerusalem. They've started building the temple. They started building, they laid the foundation. All kinds of opposition arose. The opposition we mentioned last week by association, by intimidation, by accusation arose. While I'm just in that neighborhood, can I quickly say this? That when we're talking of opposition, we did mention the fact that opposition will arise as we seek to do God's work. But I want us to ask ourselves the question, and the question is, I hope I'm not an opposition to something good, something great that is happening in the life of another person. I think that's a very fair question to ask, because when we're talking about opposition, we should not just be looking outside as if it's Mr. A or Mrs. B that is opposing the work of God in our lives. We are also supposed to look inward and see whether we are in any way being used as a tool in the hand of the enemy to oppose what is taking place in the life of others. I thought I should just chip that in. Due to the opposition, they stopped, and it is now 16 years since the work has stopped. So that's where we have come to in chapter number 5. Now, when God comes in contact with something that is lifeless, that is stagnant, or that is dormant, there is a method that the Lord, there is something that the Lord does to change the situation. When God comes in contact with something that is not moving, that is not progressing well, you know, there is also something that he does to such situation, to change it completely. And that's what we see God do in this particular place. What does God do in such situation when there is stagnation, when there is dormancy, when there is lifelessness, when there is no progress? The Lord send prophets. The Lord send prophets. These guys have been in this land now. They've actually apparently abandoned the building of the temple. And you might say they have a good reason for doing that, because they were opposed. They didn't choose to, but they were opposed, so they left it off. And so the work was just there, dormant. But the Lord now sent prophets. So whenever God wants to make things to work, things that are otherwise stagnant to begin to move, the Lord send prophets. And can I ask you, church, what do prophets do? Anyone? What do prophets do? Prophesy. Thank you. That's a distinction student. Prophesy. You know, whoever that is, you know. Prophets prophesy. And that's exactly what they have done in this particular place. Verse number 1, Ezra chapter 5, then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied. Now, stop. When you come across that word prophesy, what naturally comes into your mind? What naturally comes to your mind is a prediction of the future, a foretelling of the future, a description of what is going to happen that has not yet happened. That's naturally what comes into your mind. And so when you hear this word prophesied in this particular verse, chapter 5, verse 1, you are thinking, so what's going on here? They are saying something about the future. They are making some predictions. Not exactly so, and we're going to see that in a short while. Prophesying is foretelling, talking about something that is going to happen in the future or predicting the future. And that definition is not incorrect, it's just that it is incomplete. It is not incorrect, it's just that it is incomplete. Because prophesy is not just limited to speaking forth or to speaking about something that is going to happen in the future. It's not just foretelling, F-O-R-E. It's not just foretelling, it is also forth telling, F-O-R-T-H, forth telling. What does that mean? Telling and speaking the mind of God regarding a matter. Describing the opinion of God, the impression of God, the view of God. The God's position regarding a matter is also prophesying. So in this particular instance, you're going to see in a short while that it is more about the latter, which is the foretelling of God's word, rather than a foretelling or a prediction of what is going to happen. So whenever you see the word of the Lord being revealed regarding a matter, that's a kind of prophecy that is given regarding it. So when the Bible uses the word prophesying, it's not just talking about telling about what happens in the future. It also talks about the opinion of God, the counsel of God, the viewpoint of God regarding a matter at the moment. Now, when the Bible says in verse number 1, Haggai and Zechariah, these were prophets that came into the scene. Remember, before now, we've only been hearing about two names, Zerubbabel and Joshua. These were leaders over these people. But then the work has stopped for 16 years now. God needed the work to move forward, so he sent prophets. And those prophets, the Bible says, they prophesied. Now, the question you want to ask is, what exactly did they say? And I'm so much in love with this particular passage because the Bible gives us an idea. In fact, the Bible tells us exactly what these people said to the children of Israel. This is exactly what makes us know exactly what they said to the children of Israel. Now, we're going to turn into the book of Haggai in a short while because this particular prophet actually has a book that is written in his name, okay? So we're going to see in a short while what he said when the Bible says they prophesied. What exactly did he say? But I want you to pay attention to the timing of what when this happened so that you're going to be able to juxtapose it to the timing of the prophet that we're going to, the prophecy rather, that we're going to see in a short while. Ezra chapter number 4, verse 24, tells us exactly when this event took place, when this prophesying of this particular prophet took place. Ezra chapter 4, verse 24. Ezra chapter 4, verse 24. Thus, the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased. We already know that. And it was discontinued. Pay attention to this. Until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Don't forget what we said last week. The first king that actually asked these people to go back was King Cyrus, right? And now we are now in King Darius. So King Darius is now the one on the throne. Don't forget, this is 16 years after they had stopped the work. It's in the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. This is exactly the year that the prophet came into the scene and prophesied unto them. So let's go now. Put your finger there. We're going to go into another book called the Book of Haggai. The Book of Haggai is just the easiest way to get it. Just go to Matthew, okay? When you get to Matthew, then start coming backwards. So when you get to Matthew, you go back. You get to Malachi. You get to a book called Zechariah. And then you hit Haggai, okay? So let's do that. I want you to actually open your Bible. That's why I'm telling you how to get there. Haggai, chapter number one. Don't forget to see, put your hand in Ezra, because we're going to come back there. Haggai chapter number 1, verse 1, it says this. And I want you to pay attention to this, because I'm going to give you three things that the Word of God does when it comes in contact with your life. And when you have romance, a continuous romance with the Word of God, I'm going to tell you the three things that happen to you. But now we are in Haggai chapter number 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month. I'll start again. In the second year of King Darius. This is exactly what we've just read in Ezra chapter number 4, verse 24. When the work stopped and when the world is supposed to start again. The Bible says it started again in the second year of Darius the king. Okay? That's what you read in Ezra chapter 4, verse 24. And so this is exactly what happened on that particular day, in that particular year. In the second year, we're talking about the same year, right? Don't forget what we said last week. In their day and time, they didn't have calendars, okay? So what they had to tell them of timing was, you know, to relate it to the king on the throne, the second year or the eighth year of so-and-so king. You know exactly the season they're talking about. So this is actually Haggai coming into the scene and making and prophesying. Now, this is exactly what he says in verse number 1. So in the second year of King Darius, in the second month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, the first thing that the word of the Lord does is that the word of the Lord awakens you. The word of the Lord awakens you. Now, so the prophecy that we read about in Ezra chapter number 5, this is actually the prophecy. And I'll read it to you. Then you tell me whether it's talking about something that's going to happen in the future or it's addressing the situation at that point in time. Thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has come, or the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? This is what is going on here. So for 16 years, these guys, because of opposition, they left God's work, and so they started building their own houses. I mean, what do you expect them to do? I mean, they wanted to build the house of the Lord. They were opposed. So they went about, everyone was taking care of their home businesses, you know. And so Haggai came into the scene, and he said in verse number 3, he says, or rather verse number 2, the time has not come. This is what they said. The time has not come, the time that the house of the Lord should, the Lord's house should be built. In other words, the people were saying, okay, look, I think the reason why we're having this much opposition is because it's not yet time, you know, to build God's house. Don't forget, they did not say that their house will never be built. They only said that it is not yet time. And that speaks a lot about us, you know. Many of the time, it's not that we don't want to do the will of God. It's not that we don't want to walk in the ways of God. It's not that we don't want to do the plan, they carry out the counsel of God. We know it, we want to do it, but we convince ourselves it's not yet time, you know. I will do it when I finish, you know, when I start my own family. Or I will do it when I've raised this family and the kids are out of the house. Or I will do it when I get a better job. You know, I can't do it now because I'm doing some kind of shift work. I'm jumping from one place to another. I'm going to do it later. So this is exactly what these guys were doing. They said, okay, look, We're going to build the house of the Lord, but it's not yet time. And, you know, and the prophet gave a word which sounds to me like a sarcasm in verse number 4. Oh, is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruin? Okay, I get it. So you guys can go and do, it is time for you to go and do your own house. But it is not time for God's house to be built. Is that what you're saying? That's exactly what the prophet is saying. This is the prophecy that was given, right? And that's why I said that you tell me whether this is talking about something that is going to happen in the future or is addressing this situation at that time. Okay, verse number 5. Now therefore, thus says the Lord God of the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What he's saying is pay attention to what is happening to you. Pay attention. Something is happening to you. You need to be able to connect the dots. You know, you have sown, verse 6. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who hand wages to put into a bag with holes. In other words, can't you see that things are not working for you since the day you left the building of the house? Can't you see that you labor, but things are not coming together for you? Can't you see that since the 16 years, for the past 16 years, that you abandoned the building of the house of the Lord? Your family is not okay. Your health is deteriorating. Your businesses are collapsing. Can't you see it? Consider your ways. That's what he's saying. Verse 7. Thus says the Lord God of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 8. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. God is saying, you better abandon what you're doing and go and get the necessary materials to come and build this house. Because the time is not going to be tomorrow. The time is now. And he said, consider your ways. Things are not working for you. Don't you see that the more effort you put into actually building your house, the more it's collapsing? The more effort you put into raising a business, the more it's collapsing, simply because you have neglected the house of the Lord. You don't care about what God cares about. And that's why things are not coming together for you. It says in verse number 9, you look for so much, or you look for much, but indeed it came to little, and when you brought it home, I blew it away. You labor so much, you make so much money. And then you bring it home, and then it's amounting to nothing. Why? It's not the devil. Who is it? It's me. I'm blowing it away because you abandoned the house of the Lord. And that describes, unfortunately, some of our lives as believers. You know, we know the house of the Lord, the ways of the Lord, the things that the Lord will want us to do, the kind of service that he wants us to give to his house and to his work. But because we're so busy building our life, building our home, building our career, building our business, we leave that home. And God says, you are bringing in a lot, but there is hole created in your bag. It's not the devil. I actually put the hole there. As a matter of fact, when you collect everything and bring it to the house, I blow it away. So consider your ways. Put the dots together. Don't you see that things are not working since the day you abandoned the house? Now, this is the prophecy that the prophet gave to the children of Israel. So it wasn't talking about the future. It's talking about their experience there and then. Okay, verse number 10. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I call for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your land. In other words, guys, get it. I'm working against you. Since the day you abandoned the house, I am working against you. And so what did that do? Don't forget where we started. The first thing the word does is that it awakens you. The word awakens you. I'm titling my message, Start, Go, and Finish. Start, Go, and Finish. So the word awakens you. That's what I mean by start. Verse number 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and the high priest, with all the remnants of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord God and the word of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord their God, and sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Verse 13, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, and saying, I am with you, says the Lord. Verse 14. So the Lord stirred up. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. We came across that word in chapter number 1 when the Lord stirred up the heart of Cyrus the king, as well as the people of Israel, or the people of Judah that were in exile. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnants of the people. And they came and walked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. On the 24th day of the fifth month in the second year of King Darius. So this is what happened. When the prophecy of God came forth through the prophet, something changed in the heart of these people. There came an awakening of their heart because of the word. And within 4 weeks, they started the house of the Lord again. This is the house that they had abandoned for 16 years. But the word of the Lord awakens their heart, and they started to build again. So the problem was not the timing. The problem was because their heart had become dull, dormant, and they had become encumbered. They had become sidetracked. They had become disillusioned. They had become, distracted. And they have become distracted, not because of bad things. They are not necessarily bad things in that sense. They had become distracted about me, myself, and her. And that's why they left it. They paneled their own houses, but they left the house of the Lord. I'm saying to you, people of God, today, consider your ways. Consider your ways. The same word that these people were given by the prophet, consider your ways. Look at things. You know, for some of us, since the time we have made a decision not to bother ourselves with the things that matter to the heart of God, things have actually not worked. Yes, you have invested time, energy, and resources into your ways, but it has not worked. Why? Because you have abandoned the things that the Lord has laid upon your heart and the things that are primarily important in the heart of God. Consider your ways. So for 16 years, the house was not done, and all of a sudden, it started to be done because the word of the Lord was given. This was the prophecy that was given. Okay. So that's the first thing. The word awakens you. And that's what I mean by start. Number two, the word does not just awaken your heart. The word also assists you. Look at what, now we're going back to Ezra chapter number 5. Ezra chapter number 5. And then we're going to verse number 2 now. The word assists you in the course of your journey. You know, the word advances your course. Number two. So, verse number two, rather. So, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up and began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets, now listen to this, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. The prophets of God were with them, helping them. Stop. Now, we said the prophets of God were sent to them. Now, the Bible says the prophets of God were with them, helping them. They are now in the journey. They've started the building now, okay? They are now in the journey of completing the building, and the prophets were with them. Now, what do prophets do? We establish that. Prophesy. Now, if you see they are helping them, you begin to ask yourself, so were they helping them to carry, you know, the bricks and the mortars? You know, and move the wood and stuff like that. Maybe. But the primary thing that prophets do is to prophesy, to release God's word. And so when the Bible says they are helping them, I'm convinced that the help that these guys were given to the people was helping them to understand the mind of God, to encourage their heart, to strengthen them, to let them know that God is in it. God is part of this. This is God's idea. So that's what the word does to you. It does not just awaken your heart to do the right thing. It also strengthens you and empowers you to keep going. And that's why I said this is the part that is go. You've started. Now this is go. Start and go. For you to continue to go, you need the word of God. And you need a regular dose of the Word of God. I'm going to talk about that in a short while. You need a regular dose of this Word of God in your life. Now, let me say this, people of God. You know, you've probably have heard about the fact that as Christians, we need to read the Word of God. And some of us erroneously have come to an understanding that, well, you know, reading the Word of God is one of those disciplines that you do. It's one of those tick boxes, you know, or one of those boxes that you tick as a Christian. I mean, you are a Christian, so you need to read the Word of God. But being exposed and being dipped, immersed in the Word of God as a continuous pattern of your lifestyle is not just a religious thing as a believer. It's not just a religious thing that we need to do to tick the box. It's indeed what provides the strength for us to keep going. There is an injection of life that comes into you by opening yourself up to the Word of God. Now, what you are doing now this morning is that you are receiving the Word of God. Okay? You are receiving the Word of God. But the sad reality is that until next week, some of us here will not have any contact with the Word of God at all. That's the sad reality. We will not have any contact whatsoever until next week when we come here to preach again, when we come here to hear the Word of God again. And that's even if such a person shows up in church. Because people are comfortable going for several weeks without having any dose, any injection of the Word of life into their system. And to those such people, I say this, there is, even if you have started anything, you cannot proceed, you cannot go. The Bible says in Proverbs, I believe chapter 24, verse 10, if you faint in the days of adversity, your strength is small. Don't blame the tyrannical explosion of the devil to stopping you from achieving God's goal for your life or God's dream for your life. It's because your strength is small. And how do you get this strength? You get this strength by inoculating yourself again and again with the dose of God's word. It's a continuous thing. It's not just some religious thing that you just tick the box. It's what gives you that power, that grace, that energy, that infusion of life to keep going in the race of life. So when the Bible says that the prophets were with them, helping them, they are helping them with the prophecy, with the prophetic word that they are given to these people while they continue to build. This job is going to take another 4 years before it will finish. Okay? It's going to take another 4 years before it will finish. And for that period, the prophet cannot afford to rely on the word that he gave to them to start the job. He needs to keep giving them the word. Giving them the word on a daily basis until the end. I'm saying, people of God, you need a continuous exposure of your spirit man to the Word of God. We all need it. You know, somebody has read, hunger resides in the bosom of fool. This is somebody that has been struggling with hunger for many years. And they say, Lord, I get it. I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to change my path. I'm going to get rid of this hunger issue in my life. But if you stop at that point in time, that's going to be the end of it. Now, yes, there has been a change of heart, but how do you maintain that change of heart? It's by the Word of God. And I'm saying to you, people of God, it is time for us to come back to this prophetic word that is able to build our life up, exposing yourself to the Word of God on a daily basis, on a daily basis. When I'm talking about exposing yourself to the Word of God, it's not just limited to reading the Bible. You know, it's listening to God's word. You know, listening to some, you know, uplifting messages, things that are going to equip you, to help you. You know, meditating on the word. You have read it, but you are just reminding yourself about it. That's the way to keep going, people of God. You can't just rely on the fact that, the pastor preached a beautiful sermon on Sunday, and that's it. No, you keep going. You know, by the grace of God, this is something I do often and again. My workplace is about 30 minutes drive from my house. I get into my car, and by myself, I put on my podcast for the word. I may not do that every day, but I do that often and again. So before I get to my workplace, I already have a dose of the word. And that's like my coffee, you know, in the morning. You know, I have two ladies that work in the same organization, no, well, in the same complex, you know, not with a different organization. And by the time I get to work, you know, around 8:45, usually around that time, I see them going out. I know exactly where they're going. You know, they're the coffee kiosk, you know, not too far from my workplace. They are going to get a dose of coffee. Every day, without fail. Every day, without fail, they will go there and they will get the coffee. I wish that we would pattern our life in such a way that you just want to have this dose of God's word. Somehow, reading, listening, you know. It may even be a Christian literature, you know. I'm just saying that it is not necessarily, the word, the Bible is great, is good. I encourage you to do it. But you can get the word of life through other sources that talks about the Bible. Maybe some literature that helps to explain the Bible to you. But you need to do that, not just to prove the fact that you are a Christian, but because that's what you actually need to live. That's you. I need you to get it. You need it to live. So it's not an extra thing that you're putting on. It's something you really need to keep living. Somebody says, so how do I actually know that I don't have enough dose of God's word in my system? It's so easy. It's so easy. How do I know, Pastor, that I've not been having, you know, a regular exposure to the word of God? It's so easy. So what's the answer? When you miss the word of God for one day, for 2 days, for 3 days, and you don't have any withdrawal symptoms, you are in trouble. Did you hear me? Now I'm not talking about doing all those whatever. I'm talking about you miss the word of God, you have no contact with the word on a day or 2 days, and something is, you don't feel uncomfortable. Then you are in trouble as a believer. Because what that says is that you have not actually had enough dose of level of this word in your system for a long time. You know, by the reason of my work, I come in contact with people that are addicted to, you know, drugs and whatever. And they can't afford to miss it for one day. You know, they can't afford to miss it for one day. I came across a gentleman who was going to be leaving, you know, the vicinity where I practice to another place. A few hours, about an hour or two away, and he needs to have the dose the following day because he's not going to be around the vicinity where I practice. And I know how much effort I had to go through to be able to make an arrangement just for him to have it tomorrow. Just for you to have it tomorrow. I'm not talking about drugs. I'm talking about something that helps people with drugs addiction. Okay? So just for you to have it tomorrow. And I said to myself, how I wish we, as many believers, will have this kind of withdrawals so that you will know that something is going wrong with you. If you don't have that, then the dose of God's word in your life has been almost, is quite small. And I'm challenging you, people of God, build up this prophetic word in your life. Expose yourself to it again and again and again. Again and again and again. You know, such that when you miss it, you feel it. When you miss it, you feel it. And that's because you need it as a believer. So the word, like I said, first thing, the word awakens you. Then the word assists you in the course because you need it. In fact, turn your Bibles with me to chapter number 6, verse 14. This is what the Bible says. So the elders, that's Ezra chapter 6, verse 14. So the elders of the Jews build and they prosper through the prophesying. You see that word? Through the prophesying. I love it. It's a continuous thing. And we have established the fact that this prophesying we're talking about is not just talking about the prediction of the future. It's talking about the mind of God for the now. The prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the command of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. They built and they finished it, but it's they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai. The work prospered. It made progress. Your Christian work makes progress because of the prophesying because of the prophetic word that you receive. So the first thing, like I said, the word awakens you. Number two, the word assists you in the course of your life. It helps you. And finally, the word makes you attain. It makes you to attain. It makes you to finish, to accomplish the task. You know, the word makes you attain. It makes you finish. It makes you accomplish the task. Look at what the Bible says in Ezra chapter number 6, verse 15. Now the temple was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which is the sixth month or sixth year of the reign of King Darius. People of God, as we round up this morning, I just want to provoke your heart to desire the word of God. I want to provoke something in you to seek the word of God, to expose your heart to the word of God, to know it's your daily requirement. Reading the word, or you're listening to the word, or you're reading something about the word, or you're meditating on the word, there is something that you do about the word on a daily basis. And after a while, you will recognize that when you miss this, you're just uncomfortable. You get to bed at night and you want to sleep and say, something is missing. What's going on? I've not had a shot today. I've not had a dose today. You know, the level that you get to in your walk with God that tells you, yeah, the levels in your systems seems to be rising. The Bible says, and the word became flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14, the word became flesh. Because the word of God can do exactly what Jesus can do. I will say that again. The word of God can do exactly what Jesus can do. Why? Because the word of God is the Son of God. It became flesh. It dwells amongst us. Jesus heals. That's exactly what the word does. Jesus saves through the word. Jesus fills your heart with joy. The word does exactly that. It lifts this yoke of burden in your soul. That's what Jesus does. That's what the word also does. If you expose yourself again and again to the word of God. I'm challenging you, people of God. Get back into making sure that on a regular, consistent, daily basis, you expose your spirit man to the word of God. Listen to it. You may decide to read it. You may decide to meditate upon it. You may decide to read something that talks about the word of God, but just make sure that no day passes without you injecting something that relates to the word of God. Faith is built up that way. That's what's going to get you to start. That's what is going to get you to go. And that's what's going to get you to finish your course. Finish the race. Why? Because God is committed to his word. He's committed to his word. You know, the other time I was listening to a pastor who had an experience. He went to preach somewhere. Went to preach at a funeral. This funeral took place, I believe, on a Saturday. But on Saturday morning of that same day, he got to know that his wife, who had gone to another city to do some ministry work, died. You know. And so people were asking him, so where did you get that strength from? You know, to hear that your wife died in the morning and to go and conduct a funeral for somebody in the evening, I think in the evening or the following day, so close to each other. And he said, because I'm committed to my word. I'm committed to my word. God is so committed to his word that exactly what he will do in our life as believers is what the word will do if we expose ourselves to it. Make it your coffee. Somebody say, I don't drink coffee. Make it your tea. Make it your water. Make it your necessary food. Just keep exposing yourself to it. And after a while, you'll discover that you won't go a day without having to have a shot of something. That's when you know you are arriving there. If you don't have any withdrawals in your life now, just ask God, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been too far away from your word. I will change my ways. I will follow your path. Let us pray.